Open your Bibles if you have one. This is the part where I look to see who actually opens their Bibles. Open your device. Those of you who don't have one, I'm going to assume you have it memorized. Outstanding. I'll be there one day. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, I hope. If not, we're going to get one, and you're going to have one before you leave. Unless you got it memorized like some other of you out there. I don't. I do apologize. As I say, I like football terms, so I'm going to pull an audible here. Normally, and I'll be reading out of the King James, but I feel this English Standard Version gives us a little more justice here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I have to do it out of King James Version. I think mostly, I'm stubborn. I'm going to kind of stick with it. It's good enough for the Second Reformation. It's good enough for us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compressed about with such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beseech us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I ask for a blessing on the word today. Outstanding. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I'm so glad that we can come together and spread your word. Father, we understand that the word of God will not come back void. It's going to go to the ears that people need to hear it, Father. Brother, I got a feeling it's going to go further than what I even think. And I say all this in your son's name. Amen. It's funny. I joke about the message being titled. This originally was titled Run, Don't Walk. And I told the other congregation this morning that I can't run as fast as I used to. So, more or less just stay on path. I like that. Even though I've renamed this 3 or 4 times this morning in between sermons and social media sites. So we're going to call this, we have to put an identifier, we're going to call this Stay in the Fight. Because we are in a fight. The reality here is that every one of us that are believers in Christ, we have a course, we have a race to run. We're set on a path, a race. This race is always awkward to me because we're all going the same direction. Some of us finish the race quicker. We get to go be with Jesus quicker. Some of us go longer, but we're still on the path. What I noticed in my small little 50 years on life, Christians especially, we like to look at other people's paths. We like to look at other people's walk. We like to look and see what they're doing, and that actually distracts us from our walk with Christ. And we don't realize it. As believers, we often wrestle with doubts and fears, which threaten to shorten our stride. It threatens to wobble our gait a little bit as we walk. We don't run with the enthusiasm we once had. We let our negative past experiences mess with our walk. There are obstacles on our path. We trip and we stumble. We stumble over our own sin. Speaking for myself and myself only, I stumble over my own stupidity. I get in the way of what God's trying to do in my life all the time. I'm trying to fix something and I'm like, oh, God's got it. Let me just get out of the way and let it go the way it's supposed to. However, the writer Hebrews says, run the race that is set before you. It encourages us and it challenges us, so we don't allow our past to dictate our future. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. The problem is we like to focus on the things of this earth, not focusing on the end of the race, where we'll be with glory with our Father. We have an example, the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, which was just before this one. In case you don't know, 12 comes after 11. I'm talking to you, Jared. We find those great and yet flawed fathers of faith. I think sometimes we forget they were actually flawed men. Did horrible things. But they had faith and they kept moving forward. And that's what we need to do. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 says, "And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise." What is the promise? The promise of the Messiah. The Savior of the world did not come in their day. It didn't come in their age. It came thousands of years after some of them. It came in the church age. Jesus came before we got here. We understand what's going on. How are they able to do that? Because of the great glory of God. We know they believed in God, and the evidence is the fact that the Bible says they attained a good testimony through faith. The great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 11, the patriarchs of our faith, the example of how we should live through faith, the examples of belief in the certain future of glory. They understand. They're waiting on us to get there. Isn't that awesome? They're waiting on us. So we can confidently run in 2022. We run by faith, and that means we can obtain a good testimony, a good witness for the cause of Christ. You know the great hymns, the writers of the old? We actually sung "It Is Well With Our Soul" at the other church this morning. Those writers, they were not focused on earthly gain, but they were focused on future glory. These songs inspire us. And I said this earlier, that whenever I feel down and out and something goes wrong, sometimes I hear a song, just click on, and it's almost 90% an old hymn, something from my childhood, something like "It Is Well With My Soul." It's letting me know. Or I think about when I found out my father died, the first thing came to my mind, talking to my mother, was absence of the body is presence of God. Absence of the body is presence of Jesus, Mom. Of course, she yelled at me and said, "I know." But that's what I believe. And if you truly believe that, live by faith, not by the stuff that we see. But "It Is Well With My Soul" was written by Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was an attorney, a lawyer. He had a huge financial investment. He put all of his money in real estate in Chicago in 1871. Also in 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire. The whole thing burnt down. He lost everything. But "It Is Well With My Soul." 2 years later, he sent his family to vacation, four daughters and a wife, across the Atlantic, back to England. The ship sank. He lost all four of his daughters. But "It Is Well With My Soul." He wrote, "This event inspired him to write the lines, 'When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul.'" And I think of the great, you know, the great spirituals of old that came right out of the heinous event called slavery, right out of the cotton field. Some of the best hymns ever were written by people who had nothing. They were given the worst food, horrible conditions, horrible shelter, the worst water, sun up to sun down, and probably worse. But they were focused on not their current situation. They were focused on the glory we're all going to have together with Jesus Christ. And that's how we need to be now. It kind of puts our lives in perspective sometimes. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 9, "Whenever ye greatly rejoice through now a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that is perished, though it be tried by the fire, might be found unto praise and honor of the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It doesn't matter what's going on around us, or what the future may hold. We are confident for the glory that is set before us. What lies before us is the future no one knows. What a testament to grace and the glory of God. The course God has ordained for you and I is always through Christ Jesus. Nobody can run your race with you. You can't wait for your spouse to get on your level. Can't wait for your kids to catch up. Can't pull your grandkids along. Try. Don't let them distract you for your walk. Your walk is not her walk. We're all on the same path, and we're all at different speeds, and we're all going to reach the finish line at different times. One thing that we can do is to prepare through preparation. He's saying that you have to have we have a great cloud of witnesses. These witnesses to the goodness and of God and to the glory of God. This is our legacy. In the King James here, it says, ensnares us. Ensnares us is preparation. Anybody ever trap anything? Just me? Okay. When you lay a trap, you can't just throw a trap out there. When you're out in the woods, you got to scout it out a little bit. You got to see where I want to put this trap. It's got to be in the right spot. If you're going to go out and scout for deer, you don't just throw it in a tree and wait. You want to see where there's deer at. You want to see what's going on. You want to look for sign. You want to move that trail cam around and find out where the deer are going to be. That's preparation. That's how the devil prepares for ours. He ensnares us. He puts things in our path intentionally to try to catch us. And all it does is prevent us from our walk with Christ that we should all be on. When I left for the Army, those of you who don't know I was in the Army, I talk about it a lot. It's like my really big job. When I left for the Army, I found out that when I got the basic training in my first duty assignment, I was a pretty fast runner. I never ran track. I ran, played basketball and kind of played football. I wasn't the biggest sprinter in the world. But I found I was very good at long distances. The first time I ran 2 miles was 12 minutes and 5 seconds. And I was like, is that good? I didn't know. I had no idea it was good. And they thought I was bragging, or you ran track. No, I didn't run track. I just didn't know. But to be a good runner, it takes preparation. You got to stretch. For a long distance race, you got to stretch, and you got to be prepared to run that. I believe the biggest thing you have to do is drink water. Don't drink water the day before the race. You got to be hydrated. You got to always drink water. Drink water weeks before an event. Stay hydrated. This might be a little disgusting, but I always tell anybody who says they got a headache, what color is your urine? If it's yellow, you're not drinking enough water. And that's just how we were. And when you're going to run and you know you got a big race coming up, you're going to keep that water flowing right through you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Not all things profit me. Yeah, I can continue to do that, but it's hindering my run with the Lord. Spiritually and physically, we need right preparation, and it's important. We have to stay disciplined. Pastor Greg Groeschel of Life Church says, discipline is the bridge between who you are and where or who you want to be. Small disciplines lead to big results over time. So you want to get in shape? I want to get in shape. I'm lazy. But some people take it to the extreme, and they say, I'm going to go out and run 20 miles. Try walking around the block first. I'm going to go in the gym and try to bench 250 pounds. Try doing 10 push-ups first. You got to take small things great before you can accomplish big things. There's a speech by a retiring Navy admiral who started off by saying, you should look this up. I highly recommend it. He started off by saying, make your bed. Get up in the morning and make your bed. And then no matter what happens throughout the day, you've accomplished one task. You made your bed. He goes on and says, when you accomplish this one tag, no matter what you've done one thing right because you put your effort into it 100%. You made your bed perfectly. Now you get to come home to a perfectly made bed. So no matter how messed up your day was, you've done one thing right. Make your bed. And I think the point of that is do the little things great. Do every little tiny thing great. And then bigger, greater things will come for you. For each and every one of us. When I first started on this walk that led me to right here, I noticed my church about 12 years ago didn't have a Facebook page. And for some reason, that bothered me. I saw other carpenters and mechanics and local people have their own Facebook page, and I thought, we can have one. So, of course, I bring it up and kind of getting the brush off, like, okay, we'll get to it. So, months go by. I finally just said, I'm just going to make one. I sat down one day, put one together the way I thought it should be, and I published it. When I published it, now I got everyone's attention. They're like, what is this Mossy Living Word Church God? Oh, yeah, I did that. So now because there's stuff on there that I probably shouldn't have put on there because it's way outside my expertise, but I did it anyway. I'm a beg for forgiveness kind of guy sometimes instead of ask for permission. So I did that. And as I went through it with the senior pastor of that church, he said, you know you're doing God's work, right? And he kind of chuckled and looked at me. That kind of threw me off. Whoa. Like, I'm not. I just thought I saw a need, and I just figured I'd fill it in. I didn't think God was having me do something. So at that point in my life, every day, I'd stay up to midnight, and I'd post a Bible verse. I still do it. To this day, that same church page, I still cover that. But at that time in my life, I was undisciplined. If he would have said, here, I'd have been like, I don't know. Because I wasn't ready for this step. So that one little, small, disciplined step led to something bigger, which led to something bigger, which led to me to read the Bible all the way through, which led to me to choose that I'm going to go into Christian ministry, which led to me to select the college, which led to me to go through my freshman and sophomore years, all the way up until I graduated. I guess I should say that. The enemy wants to destroy, kill, and steal. He wants to mess you up with your race. In the race. Luke chapter 16 verse 10 says, he who is faithful in what is least of small things is faithful also in much bigger things. And he who is unjust is what is least, the small things is unjust. Do small things great. Bigger things will come. I like the bottom part of that verse. He who is unjust in what is least, small things are unjust. If you can't do the basics, great. And I think of this as a coach or any businessman or manager, and you got a small level employee who wants greatness. If they're not mopping the floor great, I'm not giving you the paperwork. I can't trust you because you can't do something semi-simple with all your effort. If you're not putting all your effort to the little things, you're not going to get greater things until you can accomplish the smaller things. And I think that's just life in general. And I said this morning that people out there trying to change the world, and they can't even make their bed. And I don't mean make your bed. Like, I'm not going to go do a bed inspection. But they want to go change the world, and they can't fix themselves. You can't fix smaller things in your life. It's a great discipline to run. There must be a willingness to lose yourself that we gain Jesus. John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he might increase. If you think about it, every single person in here, call yourself a Christian, our bad habits should be decreasing. And Jesus should be increasing throughout our body. People should be able to see that. We're going to get a stumbling block. We're going to hit a wall sometimes and fall backwards. We're going to stumble. And my friend says it like this. You didn't stumble. You fell. And the devil's there to tell you, don't repent. Don't repent from your sin. You fell. You're done. God says, no, I got you. And if God's got you, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can stop you from stumbling. Don't let your sins of your past prevent you from the future you can have. Who's the oldest person in here? You still got a long life. Moses didn't start until he was 80. And he had 80 more years. So we always have to move forward because there's always something that we can do and get done. It doesn't matter what it is. And the best way to get rid of sin, 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, then he is faithful to just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Confessing must be followed by forsaking, or confessing is just a joke. We all know that people, I'm a sinner, I did that. They don't change anything in their life whatsoever. They just say it. They're an addict going to an AA meeting saying, I'm never going to do it again, knowing as soon as they leave up out of there, they're going to do it. I watched a documentary on a band, and this guy was a straight heroin addict. Died. The paper said he died. I remember this guy, I won't say his name, I remember when he said he died. And then he come back and said he didn't die. He just overdid and came back to life. He was dead for 20 minutes. And he said and told his friends, I will never do this again. I made a change. And he said in the documentary, that's exactly what I told myself as I shot heroin again. The same day. So you confess and you don't repent, you don't turn away from that sin, you're doing nothing. It's just wordplay. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. We all have evil thoughts, and the devil will use our evil thoughts against us. The Greek here for evil means skillfully surrounding. Skillfully. The devil knows how to push our buttons. Sometimes it's not the devil, sometimes it's our own stupidity. Pointing to myself first. The devil tries to rob us of our allegiance and loyalty to Jesus Christ. And the devil knows what turns us on. He knows exactly what to put in each and every one of our way to distract us from our walk with Christ. Every single time. Romans chapter 8 says this, verse 12 and 13. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living in accordance with the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. To put this in hillbilly language so I understand it. Paul didn't say you're going to lose your salvation. But what you're going to do is you're going to be spiritually estranged from your Lord. I don't know. And, you know, this is just my own opinion. So I'll make sure to mentally note that's my opinion. I think we might get to see what our life would have been if we would have been walking with Christ the way we should have been at the beginning. And I said this earlier that, for those of you that don't know, I've been to 15 countries and deployed 5 times. And someone will say, oh, thank you for your service. And I've been kind of curt with some of my Christian friends and say, that was a wasted life. Wasted life. I've been to 15 countries. Never even mentioned the word Jesus to nobody. Thank you for my service. Yeah, it's great. But I didn't do the path that God put me on. I could have done so much more when I look back at my life. And I try not to focus on it, try not to stumble on that. But I just think, what could have been if I would have done what I was supposed to? But everything had to happen the way it was supposed to happen to get me right here to this day to say what I'm saying now. So we can't let our past stumble us when we're moving forward. Paul says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which lives in you, which you have in God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Some of us are trying to glorify God with our body, and then we're doing evil things with our body. And I say, but I say thoughts too. Somebody cuts us off, and we're like, I got you. Somebody does something we don't like, our mind goes back to our fleshy reflexes, as I say. The biggest thing biggest thing I can't stand, Christians walk around with a messed up look on their face. We all know somebody who complains about everything. You know somebody, you know this person, as soon as they walk up, you know they're going to complain about the weather, they're going to complain about the food, they're going to complain about this. Every single thing out of someone's life is a complaint sometimes. And I've said this before, that when I went to Iraq, I was active duty, but they pulled me out of my position and made me work with the Indiana National Guard. Love those guys to death. But every one of them were between the age of 58 and 61. National Guard have to do 20 years of whatever to retire. They don't get to retire like a normal active duty person does. They have to wait for points. None of these men had their points, and they all had to deploy late in life. They were the most miserable men, hateful, negative men I ever met in my life. But I'm glad I met them, because now I can see their behavior in me. I see the way they were acting, and I'm like, oh man, that's me in life if I don't change the way I look at things. And the biggest thing I brought, why I was over there, I helped the guys unload my truck. The locals were unloading my truck. And I took my top off and just was in a t-shirt working. And I got cold. You're working up a sweat. It's nighttime. Work. I got a little chill in, put my jacket back on, go to grab my jacket, and the thermometer said 125 degrees. 125 degrees, and I was cold and complaining. Right then I figured out, I've been complaining about the weather my entire life for no reason. And I told myself, I'm going to go at least 1 year and never complain about the weather, ever. I did. Still sometimes slips in there because we complain about the weather, but I always think God says it rains on the just and the unjust, so somebody needs rain when we're flooding, so I'll take it. It'll put your life in perspective so fast when you look back on some of the things. There's certain people that I know, and you know, can never take a drink. There's a good friend of mine who goes to a church in another city here, and we're talking about going into places to preach to them, and he said, I can't go into a drug den because that stuff tastes good. He's reliving his own addiction, and he knows if I go in there to try to preach to them, I might slip. I might stumble. So he avoids it. The same with alcohol. Some people know they take one drink and they're gone. See, we have to know our limitations as well. So we're going to mess up. Yes, we are. What's going to happen? We're going to try to repent. The devil's going to stop us and say, why are you repenting? You're a sinner. You call yourself a Christian and you went right back and did what you said you're never going to do again, and you're doing it anyway. You're not going to repent. That's all the devil talking. What does God say? I got you. And if God's got you, I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what your friend says. I don't care what anyone around you says that you sin. They saw you sin. You're still a Christian. Move forward. Pull yourself up. Get in the fight and go forward. Every single one of us. I always talk to myself first. David says in Psalms 37, he says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his own way. Though he falls, he should not be utterly cast down. Why? Because God's got us in his hand. He's got us in his hand. And if God's got you, I don't care what anybody else says. I saw this movie, which we're all kind of familiar with, called Forrest Gump. Anybody see Forrest Gump? Just want to make sure it's not just me. When I was in Cuba, you did laundry in a laundry tent. So you do your laundry, and then you walk over to the entertainment tent. And almost 90% of the time, Forrest Gump, I saw the feather starting or the feather ending. So I almost had the movie memorized, I thought. But the part where Forrest Gump had his braces on, he's walking in the woods with Jenny, little baby Jenny, and those bullies show up, and she, what does she say? Run, Forrest, run! He starts running, and he breaks through those boundaries. The braces fall off, the weights of his legs fall off, and he takes off. That's what some of us are doing right now. We're letting our sins of our past that we've already been forgiven for, we're letting that hold us down for the walk we should be having. When the weights are gone, and if they're not gone, get rid of them. Move forward, stand up, run. If you can't run fast like you used to, move forward. always move forward. Always do something good every single day, moving forward through Christ every single day. I believe this year, from here on forward, we got to change. We have to move forward. If not, we're just going to stand there. Our walk's not going to go the way it was supposed to go. We need to always be moving forward through Christ. And that's what it says in the verse that we selected here. The braces are off. The weights are gone. Let's move forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I ask that every single person that hears this voice, the ones that are present, the ones that are present online, Father, take the weights off. Show us who we can be when we focus on you and not on the world around us. Father, help us stay on the path. And I say all this in your Son's name. Amen.